Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show here on Raglan Community Radio, and I want to welcome Arono Renata to the studio. Good morning.
Ai, ata marie. Ka nui te mihi atu kia I o matua te kore, nāna nei te timatanga me te whakaotinga o ngā mea katoa. Kia rātau mā, ko wehe atu ki te pō, haere, haere, haere atu rā. Kia koutou te... ka nui te mihi atu kia rātau mā, e noho mai nei I rungi I te pauritanga o te kingitanga, kingi tū heite ki Ngāruruwahia, ki ngā hau e whā, ngā iwi katoa, e noho mai nei I rungi I tēnā te kaupapa nui kia mātou I te ao Māori. Me tātou hoki o tēnei... mō tēnei whenua Aotearoa. Ka huri taku reo. We acknowledge the passing of the monarch, the king, Kingi Tūheitia, recently, and the unfolding of the tangihanga that is taking place now in Ngāruruwahia. It's a significant... time for all of us as New Zealanders, not only for Māoridom to come together, the legacy that has been left for us to go forward with is unity, kotahitanga, and that is a very powerful tohu to all of us that we cannot move forward and progress in prosperity if we do not understand what that can be or how that will unfold.
And that call for unity, that was the work he was doing in the last few months, really, like as apparent to everyone with what the government's doing.
Yes, I think it came as a response to many political ideas, ideologies that weren't serving, if you like, Māoridom, and then the alert buttons went on. But, he also says it's one of the things for this time is not the political angle or how things happened or how they didn't happen, but simply to the politics of this time right now is to go more deeply into what kotahitanga means and how it can serve us collectively as a people finding our way to go forward, to prosper. It seems so simple when we put it like that, but it seems to be that something that as a human family, when you look at our history, we're still getting there. We've got a long way to go.
Mm. And so today the council and iwi leaders are meeting to have discussions about who the successor will be.
Yes, I don't really understand the process that is used because it's, as you say, it's a group of elders, significant elders, will be meeting today because the crowning happens before the king is buried on Taupiri.
Yeah.
And my understanding, he'll be buried with his mother.
Yeah, so that's...
Te Ātairangi Kāhu.
And that's to happen on Thursday.
Yes, that will be a lot of people.
Do they know yet? The last time they did this, they floated the Queen down the river to that site. I heard they were just discussing whether they would do that this time.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
However, it's also they closed. It was historical at that point. I had the privilege of taking Diocesan School for Girls onto Te Ātairangi Kāhu's tangi in Ngāruruwahia. I was the head of Māori at Diocesan School for Girls at the time, and because of her special relationship of being a student at the school, so we went on as a ope from Diocesan School for Girls on the whānau day, so there was no crowds. Mm. It was only very, very close.
Okay.
It was very intimate. And very significant, very proud for time, very sad time for Diocesan School for Girls. But it was a real privilege to be there at that time. And then, of course, the crowning of Tu Heitia at that time to become the next king was my first experience at sort of being right there and how that unfolded from outside. I wasn't, you know.
You weren't in the council.
No, I wasn't in the council.
Didn't have teachers taking time off work to go in the council. It's not how it works.
And, it was interesting times as they've unfolded the last 18 years. And this call for unity is really strong. And I think it's really also a powerful tohu for Māoridom because we're very tribal, but how to see ourselves as united, a united front. That's, always been a desire.
I'm sure that they'll feel their choices, the pressure to get the choice right is even stronger at the moment than it might have been otherwise.
I hope so.
Yeah.
We're always navigating so much. And, we have some very powerful Māori woman lawyers because, you know, the battles that are fought. Here we go, can't help it. The politics of the day fought in the courtroom.
Yeah.
But we have some very articulate speakers in Māoridom, mainly Māori, Māori women, brilliant lawyers, brilliant, very articulate, know, you know, the live land and not afraid to speak up at all on issues of the day. So are we in good hands? Yes, I hope we are in good hands. I'm looking forward to those engagements where, you know, we see the prosperity rising within Māoridom as a part of our growth, because we certainly need it in so many ways.
So can the council choose anyone, or are there kind of limits on what
I wouldn't say so. I'd say they'll be very clear about who they've got in their minds, and they'll be doing lots of counselling within towards each other as to very carefully choosing how they see the future of Māoridom.
Is it most likely to be one of the recent king's children?
It could be.
Could be.
I'm not really in that, you know, I can't, I'm a guessing, so.
I'm asking you to be like my expert here, but we didn't plan this, so, and I don't know, I know nothing, so.
Yeah, well, there's certainly a lot of skills that are required to fill that place, and how that unfolds is, there's only a certain number of people really that would be eligible.
Because
of all the background and teaching and training and many things.
Yeah. Understand.
For that.
All right, so the other thing we wanted to talk about today, you've been on a trip recently to somewhere, one of the islands around part of the Tonga group, for an experience, quite the experience. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, very recently, like last week, I have spent, travelled with three other amazing women from here, from Whangaroa, to the island of Tonga Tapu. We flew into Tonga Tapu, the main island, and then made our way to an outer island called Eua. The research that we'd done prior to leaving was our desire was to swim with the humpback whales.
How big are the humpback whales?
Because I can't remember those details.
Are they the biggest?
They're big. They're very big. But what was to unfold was this incredible pūrākau about the humpback whales and the significance of those areas around Eua and the other outer islands where they give birth to their pups. Mm. So they make extraordinary journeys from the Arctic and the Antarctic, where that's their feeding grounds. And then they head up to warmer waters, and this magic happens where they have these pups. Pups, and these pups aren't small.
Yeah, the biggest pups in the world.
Yeah, the whale pups.
So did they have pups when you saw them?
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Yes. It's what they call the whale season. Now, when we dropped into it, little did we realize that we would actually... Well, did we realize? Yeah. On the island of Eewa, the whale watch season is primarily managed by mana whenua, by the people of the... And it's in this, in our case, it's a rangatira of the island called Kiko. It's called Kiko's Whale Swim.
Yeah.
Whale Swim, yeah. We met Kiko. Kiko then took us out, us four women from, and he never takes them out. He never takes people out anymore. He's trained his son. He has seven sons, and he has trained them in to be either the ones who drive the, what do you call it, the boat?
Yeah.
The skipper, or they are the whale guides. Generally, what we witnessed was the whale, the main whale guide was Tina Valentino. She was from Chile. She did a brilliant job. She was amazing. And then the other two, another one was from Chile, and they were the whale guides. Now, they are very strict or very clear about their how they engage with the whales at, during the season. And we understand that this practice has been going on for hundreds of years. You're not allowed to touch the whales, so that's a no-no. There's no.
Do you get close enough to touch them?
It probably looks like that, but actually they are further away because of the way the what they call visibility in the water.
Yeah.
It feels like they're so close, but they're actually. Oh, the whale guides may ensure that you do not get close to them because
they're powerful
animals.
But powerful mammals. How close did you feel though?
I felt pretty close. I wasn't
a few meters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like a.
Could they have turned around and smacked you with their tail?
The briefing was extraordinary, which is the night before, run by Tina, and she outlined some of the personalities of the whales and how their tails. So you would never. You would never in the water without the guidance of these whale guides who there were certain patterns, the way they, you know, the way you, the whale was behaving that would give you, was an indicator of, and you were behind the whale guide. I had the hand of the whale guide the whole time. I was a pup. I was a mama.
You needed guidance.
I needed guidance.
Yeah,
we're talking about one of the deepest oceans in the world.
Mm. Yeah,
Tonga.
Yeah,
that corridor is extraordinarily deep.
Yeah, the trench. They call it the Tonga Trench on the maps. I've noticed. Yeah.
So I'm not surprised the humpback whales have. It's their home. But what struck me really clearly was it was their ukaipō. Now, that's a word in Māoridom which has significant meaning right now, even as we speak about Kingi Tuheitia's passing. He will return to his maunga. Ukaipō is the place where you were first breastfed. So it means, and he will return to that, to his mother, quite literally. So spiritually and physically, on that level, the humpback whales have been speaking that story for thousands of years. They go through that channel to have their pups in, as I said, the island where we were is Eewa, out from Tongatapu. And a comment was made by the local people. They said, oh, the Tongans go, never come back. The whales go with their pups down to the Antarctic, always return.
Yeah.
It was a really beautiful, we laughed about it at the time, but the first year of their birth, mother takes them down to the Antarctic and the Arctic area and brings them back exactly 1 year later to where they were born.
It's hard. How do they do that?
And that's their ukaipō. And what happens is during birth, what I learned, which I just love this story, is when the baby is born, the mother actually flicks her up into the air because she can't, the pup can't breathe.
Right.
So has to hit the air.
Has to have the first breath.
And you know, ti hei, that sneeze of life comes from breathing oxygen.
Mm.
Yeah, beautiful. Flicks them up so they can...
Like our babies, they come from a place where they're not breathing. They don't have to breathe for themselves, but yeah, it's easier. We just come out into air.
The relationship of what they hold as what we call the ancient record holders is actually the story of the earth, the original story of the earth. The humpback whales are responsible as record holders and known for that. I'm just discovering this and I'm all good with it. I love it.
I wonder what does that mean?
It means that they were actually, what I understand, I've been reading Barry's kōrero, Barry Brailsford, that they were around in what they call the time of Lemuria, when the plates were shifting and the earth became water. Lemuria went under the earth, the Lemurian time into the Atlantean time, which is quite a long time ago.
Yeah, we'll call it that.
And during that time, so different things occurred within the plates of the world, the tectonic plates of the earth, and then the whale actually became was at that time living on dry land.
And like evolutionary,
has become a mammal in the ocean. Over a very long period of time. It's a big story.
Yeah, it is. It's a long story. The question I wanted to ask you is, how do you feel afterwards? Like,
I have my main concern, I want to put that forward, is we lived on bottled water because the water wasn't recommended to drink from the taps there. You could bathe in it, or we could shower, cook. We didn't brush our teeth with it either. We used bottled water.
Yeah.
So the bottled water is in 5-litre containers. This water is actually managed by an Asian company.
Mm.
And there's a lot of it, like every shop. There's 10 shops on the island, and you buy your bottled water. The water containers are not recyclable. Pippa and I know because we brought back all the bottles. We couldn't.
Your suitcase full of squashed plastic water bottles.
We couldn't bear to leave them there because we felt this deep connection to the. You know, Ewa is turning into a. It's not a rubbish dump. That's not the right word, but along those lines, where there's the recycling of plastic is not a priority. So that relationship.
There's probably no infrastructure to deal with it, like. Like if they wanted to, like you brought it back with you to this country where we do recycling, but how would they'd have to set up?
We couldn't bear to support that idea, that ideology that it was okay to have all this plastic, which didn't have numbers generally, that were recyclable, and just bring them home and deal with them.
Yeah, that's a thing.
But that's our training back here in Whangaroa.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy to do. Easy to think about.
Well, the two that were travelling with us said, "Are you?" And we said, "Yep, we've got room." We're now like
were
in
you,
our check
were you,
luggage.
Were you checked at the customs? Did they open your suitcase and discover these plastic bottles?
No.
That might have raised a few extra questions. Like, what's this?
But I have concerns that the water that they're on the island, and you know, I've yet to discuss this with mana whenua. With Kiko's whānau, but the Asian community own the company that supplied. I'm not cool with that. The prosperity belongs to mana whenua, the people of the island,
or it should.
Yeah, and there's we brought a lot of water while we were there for the four of us. In fact, it seemed to be quite a big focus for us. So we thought about a Kangen machine, we thought about many things, and going forward we're finding ways to assist how that story can be rewritten so that it's in the charge of mana whenua, the people of the island, if they want to.
I'm interested because like when I went to Thailand, it was like that. This is 20 years ago or more, and everyone was like, you have to get the you had to get these ice cubes that had a hole in them. That's how you could tell they were the safe ones. That's what we were told. But yeah, there was always the danger of, and in fact, everyone did at some point get a problem with their belly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was hard to avoid. But I was surprised to hear that in the Pacific, my experience in the Pacific is really old. Like, that's when I was a teenager that I was there.
Right.
And where we lived in Tokelau was so pristine, you'd never conceive of that. But all our water was also rainwater too.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
there's definitely a discussion, a kōrero that we're having, so we're not trying to come in with these Western ideas, ideologies.
Yeah.
We're really pacing ourselves of how can we contribute to the prosperity of mana whenua on the island. Because definitely the whale registering as a whale guide is going to be brought out by non-Indigenous people. It's a huge market.
Yes.
Potential.
Yeah, it is. And just all that stuff to do, the recycling. The Pacific and other parts of the world are full of schemes that Palangi have come up with, and they couldn't be transplanted because the industrial infrastructure isn't there, or the culture doesn't work that way, or so. Yeah, you're right to not dive in right away.
Yeah,
with your magic solution.
Yeah, it's so important. It's more about our alignment that we have gathered over a period of 6 days while we were on the island.
Yeah.
We were taken to significant sacred sites that were just extraordinary. Eua is millions of years old. It's probably the oldest island in the whole Pacific basin. The Tongans say that Maui was born on Eua.
Ah, I see.
And then one of the whale guys who's from Hawaii, he said, well, of course they would say that. Well, we have an island called Maui.
So that must be the original, yeah.
So, you know, it's a Pacific story, and that I'm all good with that. Every island will have their story about...
When I was in Tokelau, they had their story of how Maui discovered the three atolls of Tokelau.
Exactly, yeah. You see, so it's a Pacific story, and the people claim part of it, and why not? It's the stories of the people that have... That's what was really powerful for us was Kiko, the elder from the island, who very seldom goes out. He chose us. We're not sure why. We're still... He said, I'm taking you out to the... to swim with the whales.
And the experience for you, like, you're in the water with the whales, and, like, is that... Some people might want a life-changing experience or expect a life-changing experience out of that, like, or a very deep, meaningful experience. Others might be just like, oh, wow, that's really cool.
I was still trying to work out how the goggle and snorkel works.
Oh, I see.
once you go into the water, you realise, like, oh, okay, breathe out, you know. Those who were with me were much more seasoned in using snorkel and goggles.
Yeah.
But I learnt pretty fast.
Yeah, you don't want to miss out.
I wasn't going to miss out. And your flippers are huge, like just of the...
To keep you so you can go fast in the water.
That's
Would you recommend this experience to others?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you have the opportunity, I mean, Eua is very special to me, and I hear the other islands have got much more of a Western,
much more developed.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'm not cool. I'm not interested in that, really.
We can see that here, can't we? We don't need to leave home to see that.
I'm happy on the island of Eua where the mana whenua, they come to greet us. And I know,
I'm looking at the maps. Naranoa has a map here and of lots of little islands, and they've all got lots of roads on
them. I think there's hundreds of islands.
Except Eua. Yeah, the Tonga group's huge. Yeah. And there's others that probably people don't live on as well. But Eua has hardly any roads on it, I notice.
Yeah, one of the things that I felt to also be aware of was it's only very recently that they had suffered the tsunami.
Oh, yes.
Like within 2 years.
Yeah.
And it was a very significant event.
Mm.
Some of the people from other islands they got wiped out, well, their island, and they're now on Ewa.
Because that is mountainous or hilly, at least.
Yeah.
But the others might be atolls. They might be very low. I know Tongatapu is very low lying.
Yeah, and so yeah. There was still the rebuilding back
yep.
from there.
Yeah.
Because they unfortunately the support didn't come. The support for the islands didn't of Tonga.
Right.
Wasn't a big news item. Like we
initially, it probably was, and then
it just
the news cycle faded.
And you just when you're there, you realise, oh my gosh, this was huge.
Yeah, people. No, it's right. Having lived on atolls, I mean, a proper tsunami. There's nowhere to go. There is nowhere to go. You could climb a coconut tree, but that's going to get probably knocked over. Yeah, in fact, you go out to sea. You get in a boat, and you go out to sea, and you ride it out that way. That would be the only way, if you knew it was coming.
Right. Yeah. Amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible. A lot of learning still to be done, and we're going back.
Okay, yeah. Hey, I don't know, it's been very nice to talk to you this morning.
Yeah,
yes.
Thank you.
And to talk
thank
about Kingi Tuheitia.
Yes,
and
yeah, very sad yeah. for us. But hopefully we'll pick up as a people, you know, the legacy that has been left
yeah.
for us all.
Yeah, thank you for coming in.
Ngā mihi ki a koutou, ki a pai tō koutou rā.